We welcome you to Cranky Chronicles live from Los Angeles.
Tom, we're taping this and I live in Salt Lake City.
Chronicles.
I'm Tom, the Judicator Merritt, joined by my broadcast partner, the Anvil himself, Scott Johnson. We're thrilled to have you joining us from around the world for the lead up to our pay-per-view podcast, Current Geek Chronicles, The Reckoning. Coming to you live this Sunday. We've been building up for weeks, and the tensions are running high with the Chronicles roster.
Tom. This is our second episode. What are you talking about? The roster is you and me.
Oh, sorry, Scott, but we're talking about wrestling this week. I couldn't help myself.
Well, all right. Do Kickstarter supporters get the pay-per-view podcast for free?
We'll talk about that later. But we felt like wrestling was something we just had to dig into on Current Geek Chronicles because wrestling is geeky. It has extensive lore, a cast of distinct characters, its own language, and fans that care as much about the companies behind the product as they do about the wrestling itself.
All right, but if you've only watched like 5 minutes of wrestling or seen random GIFs on the internet, it can seem a little unapproachable. So we wanted to put together an outsider's guide to wrestling to show the geeky underbelly hiding inside or under because, you know, underbelly.
True. So Scott, you and I are wrestling noobs. I think we can represent that side of this really well. For a non-wrestling fan, what do you think is the first thing we might think when we see wrestling?
Well, probably this. Why are you watching this? Don't you know that it's fake?
Yeah. Sometimes people think they're breaking news with calling wrestling fake. I've brought you the truth, my friends. You have been fooled. The wrestling business actually has a lot to do with that whole idea of fakeness because of something called kayfabe.
Well, kayfabe, I mean, it sounds like a cool local toy store from the 80s, but it's actually been key to wrestling for decades. When people talk about kayfabe, it basically just means keeping the illusion of the reality of what's happening in a wrestling ring live. Not just that it's a competitive athletic contest, but acting as if everything that happens in wrestling is part of the real world.
This is why back in the day, it wasn't quite clear if wrestling was fake or not. But these days, arguing that wrestling is fake is kind of beside the point. It's a little like arguing that Lost or Game of Thrones was fake. It's well known now that wrestling is scripted.
Yeah, and for a lot of fans, knowing what goes on behind the curtain actually makes wrestling a little more enjoyable. Might not be competitive, but wrestling is this insanely physically demanding performance. We are talking wrestling with our friend Katie, and she really explains it perfectly.
Realizing this sacrifice and understanding the sacrifice is what made me kind of get over the fact that wrestling is dumb or that it's fake.
No, they really go through a table. The table might be pre-cut, but falling from 8 feet and hitting the ground on your back still hurts. There's nothing like these guys really do put their bodies on the line. And yes, there's ways to make it look worse than it is. But there have been every single Raw or SmackDown or indie show that I watch. There's a moment where there's a wrestler that is selling the hit or selling the bump or whatever you want to call it, selling it so well that my heart goes, oh, shit, I hope they're OK. And even some of the best athletes in the world miss a bump. All it takes is one slip, in a worst case scenario, an inexperienced wrestler doing something, not catching someone right, and that person getting hurt. Like it's such a volatile and risky endeavor to wrestle at all. And I think once you realize that, and once you realize like, oh, these guys are really great at what they do, or they wouldn't be doing it, you start to realize like they have to do everything right in that moment. And even if they mess up a little bit or there's a little improv here and there, to keep everyone safe, everyone has to be very open about their skill set, about what they're willing to do, what they're capable of doing. And there is a bit of ego that has to be shed when you're in the ring when it comes to some of these risky maneuvers.
Some people can have a hard time with wrestling being scripted, but here's a good way to think about it. Every blockbuster movie is scripted. It's written out, carefully directed, acted, and edited by teams of sometimes hundreds of people. But every time there's a new Mission Impossible movie out, as an example, you know what everyone is talking about. How Tom Cruise did these crazy stunts and refused to let a stuntman step in and do it for him. No one is saying that the stunt is diminished because the movie was scripted.
Well, I mean, the internet exists, so probably somebody said that, but it's a really good point. And that kind of gets at the bigger point that in wrestling, much like in other media, all the action is actually a means of telling a story. While there is a visceral thrill in seeing someone going through a table, doing a moonsault off the top rope, or a step-up enziguri to the face, it only really has impact when it's ultimately being used as a storytelling device.
So imagine the battle and the snap at the end of Infinity War without the entire decade of storytelling that the MCU left before it. It's just a bunch of weird CGI and a big purple dude in a tank top. Impressive on a technical level for sure, but it's ultimately there to serve the story.
Yeah, you don't come into wrestling and judge it on one match without seeing any of the setup any more than you judge Avengers by just watching that one scene. And it's really interesting because the storylines in wrestling, especially something like WWE, have been running within the same kayfabe universe for decades now. That's something else that can be a little off-putting to outsiders. But at the end of the day, when you're watching two people in the ring, the action comes down to one of the most classic ways to tell a story.
Yeah, it's usually pretty elemental stuff. Turns out good versus evil plays just as well in the wrestling ring as it does in comics or movies. In wrestling, you'll hear the term heel and face a lot. Face is short for babyface. That just means the good guy's in the ring. Heel is always the bad guy. Just understanding that dynamic alone will help open a whole new world of understanding within matches.
Yeah, in fact, it might help you understand the entire world a little better. The other thing to remember is while WWE is the biggest wrestling company, what's called a promotion, but it's far from the only one. There are promotions like All Elite Wrestling and Impact that are on broadcast TV. But there are innumerable other indie promotions that put on shows all over the world. Since these don't have continuing TV coverage to tell stories, it makes the in-ring dynamic all the more important.
So we wanted to find out what it's like as a wrestler in one of these indie promotions to try to do in-ring storytelling like this. And what better way than sitting down and talking to a professional wrestler? Then we'll hear Katie again about how these stories connect with her as a fan.
My name is Martin Casals. I'm known in the wrestling world as Marty the Moth Casals, Marty the Moth Martinez, depending on which show you're watching. I started wrestling in 2003, based out of Salt Lake City, Utah. When you're on TV, they have a particular story that they're trying to push. Me versus Killshot, I was obsessed with his dog tags and stealing his identity. So there's some elements with his dog tags where we try to incorporate into matches and building a story that way. However, when you go to some independents, it's mostly a lot of it's like, okay, it's you versus you. You're the good guy, you're the bad guy, go. And we kind of get to create our own stories out of that. So it kind of depends on the promotion of where you're working at. If I don't get any direction from the company as far as, hey, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy, we want this to kind of happen, you don't get any sort of direction for that. I honestly just look at me and look at my opponent and think, okay, if I saw two guys of this size and of these natures and characteristics, what would happen? How would this play out? It's fun for me because I imagine everything as far as character-wise. So if I put Scar from The Lion King in there, in the ring with Captain America, how are the two going to interact with each other? That's how I do it. I just kind of go off of what I see the two different characters can do with each other because everyone's seen wrestling movies. I think the most important things, and Stone Cold Steve Austin told me as well, is the characters are what brings you into the story. So we are 100% working with each other. And in most cases, we don't want to hurt each other in real life, because a lot of people have to do this same, like if I'm wrestling on Friday, I'm more than likely going to wrestle on Saturday too. So I want to make sure this guy also has the opportunity to make money for himself the next day. So I want him to put on a great show, but not exactly kill him. In professional wrestling, you're sent all over the world. I've been to Japan, I've been to Germany, all over here in the United States, Canada. There's a lot of times you travel to somewhere, you've never met the person before, you've never even seen the person before an hour before you got in the match. Sometimes you don't even get that. Sometimes you meet them 5 minutes before you go out there and you go. So it's important to be able to trust the person that, hey, if this guy is going to be able to, if I'm going to allow him to pick me up over his head, that he knows what he's doing. He's not going to drop me on my neck and break it. There's got to be 100% trust in the ring that you're not going to hurt each other. And if not, that if you don't particularly trust this person, you figure out what you don't trust this person in doing and then work around that. Sometimes you can do research before if they have a name, like I'm lucky enough to be in rings with some of the greats in professional wrestling. So I could go back and see some of their footage. A lot of stuff with the internet now, you can see, and hopefully guys are out there marketing themselves online. You can see kind of what they do. But a lot of it's just asking them before you go out there, hey man, what are some things that you want to make sure you get in? What are some important things that that you could do that can elevate your character so the crowd understands your character and can get involved in this storyline? So mostly it's just a conversation right before you go out as far as what do you need to make your character work? This is what I need, and then what kind of story we tell. That's how I put together matches, is I ask the other person, what do you need? This is what I need. What kind of core story can we play? And then we go from there. Wrestling isn't original anymore. It's just the way you do things now is original. So I let everybody head now does the leg drop. However, that was Hulk Hogan's biggest move, is the leg drop. So, and then a lot of people now do it just in the middle of the matches. So it's nothing really anymore is original. It's all about how you do it that makes it original. What I think people should know is that we are the greatest form of live entertainment, I believe, that exists.
I'm also a little more generous with understanding that, like, WWE has missed opportunity after opportunity for good storytelling for decades. So there's, I try to be a little more forgiving when it comes to that. But even like on the indies, or in AEW right now, AEW is telling stories with character packages and building character and backstory. So you are legitimately invested in Darby Allin, in Cody Rhodes, in Dustin Rhodes, in their relationship. I cried at the Dustin Rhodes, Cody Rhodes match at Double or Nothing in Vegas. I was literally in tears. It was this battle between brothers, and you already know they're like dads passed away in real life. Like, they use so many emotional elements that they just were like, and I was like, at the end of that match, even I get chills talking about it now. At the end of that match, I was like, I'm crying in a wrestling match. What's wrong with me? This is ridiculous. Just Dustin Rhodes is just covered in blood. I don't like gore. I don't want to see anyone get hurt. But there is that, the story was so good that you're just, they did that story right. It was two brothers. I think what I really love about most of these stories is that they're using real elements of this person, of whoever the actual performer is. They're using that, they're amplifying those characteristics in the actual character. And it doesn't feel force-fed. It doesn't feel like WWE came up with a name and then, like, we're like, you're going to be a magician wrestler and you're going to go do tricks. Like, okay, get out of town. But like, oh, here's Sonya Deville, who has had this friendship with this beautiful woman for years and has been her backup. And now Mandy Rose gets to do whatever she wants. So Sonya's going to get her. Like, that's a good, that's relatable. I mean, yeah, I think that's one of the things that makes Mick Foley so legendary, is he understood what makes relatable characters. And you could even, not to like jump too far across, but you could even say that about reality TV. Like, there's elements of these characters that are very real that you are seeing, and there's emotions that we all identify with, but we try to hide. And this one character is acting on all of those things that you've always wanted to do or say or think or whatever. And that happens with a chair to the head. So cool, go get him.
We also talked to wrestler Joey Image about his experience.
So there's another misconception that the chairs are gimmicked, whatever that's supposed to mean. One thing that I liked to do when I was still active was, if I knew there was going to be a chair shot, I would go out at some point in my match before the chair shot. I would, because I was always a heel, a bad guy. So it was okay for the bad guy to duck out of the ring and hide. you know, not physically hide, but duck out and take a breather and kind of walk around the ring for a couple minutes because he was afraid. He was a wimp. You know what I mean? So it was okay for that. So I would go out and do that. And as I'm doing that, I would look around for the biggest guy I could find. And if he was too far away, I didn't bother. But somewhere that was maybe like half, like someone that was maybe like fourth or fifth row or closer, if I knew there was a chair shot that was going to happen, or even if I just thought of it on the spot, I would tell the guy, like, you know, take a chair in a minute. I would go out and find that guy. And I would say, give me your effing chair, you blah, 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 whatever. And I would hit the guy with that. And my reason behind it is people see that chair supporting a guy, then how could it be fake? You know what I mean? How could it be gimmick?
Tom, you and I have done a fair bit of podcasting, both live streamed and taped over the years.
That's a mild understatement, but go on.
Scott's looking like he's got something to prove.
And we've both had on guests where we didn't know how an interview would go, but can you imagine talking to someone for 5 minutes and then having to do a high-flying athletic performance that's both entertaining and keeps you both safe?
That's a really good reason I stay behind the mic.
Well, look at Tom, confident as a cock of the walk, coming off his big win last week.
So maybe we've convinced a couple of wrestling outsiders to give wrestling a look. Before you jump down a YouTube rabbit hole, though, let's maybe clear up some other wrestling terms. Let's start with some of the things Katie talked about, taking a bump and selling, which, given how popular wrestling was in the 80s, doesn't have anything to do with cocaine.
Yeah, so taking a bump is just a fall to the mat. So, Tom, if you could just stand there for a sec.
Okay.
And I'll just bounce off this rope. Bounce off this rope over here. Stretch my arm out and...
Well, now I'm on my back.
I don't think Tom knows what hit him.
Yep, you just took a big bump. But to make it work in wrestling, you've got to really sell it. Since this is a performance where people aren't trying to injure each other, you got to sort of act it up. So let's try that clothesline again. Here we go. And... what was that?
It just happens every now and then. Go with it. Okay, now that we got that down, let's talk about heat.
All right, well, this has nothing to do, sadly, with Al Pacino or Robert De Niro wrestling, okay? So I just wanted to get that out there. I was also disappointed to hear that.
Heat is when you get wrestling fans fired up, usually designed against a heel, and you get them booing. It's a great way to build stakes in a match, either during the action or even in a TV promo.
I mean, if people knew it's a performance, why bite on the heat?
Good question. Well, a lot of the time, wrestlers will go with cheap heat, making fun of what town they're in, the local sports team, beloved icons, something the fans have an attachment to that will promote a reaction.
I guess, but maybe give me an example.
Okay. How about Scott? You know what's great about being on a podcast with you? I get reminded about Mad Max Fury Road. More like Mad Max Fury load of crap.
Scott is hung up in the ropes.
It would take a real cinematic simpleton to enjoy that overlong, underdeveloped, sensory overloaded excuse for a movie. Nothing but a bunch of man babies trying to recapture some infantile sense of escapism.
Boo, boo, boo.
Oh, wait, I see what you mean. But you do like Fury Road, right?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Whew. Okay, before we finish, I have one last wrestling term on my list, but I don't actually see a definition. It's something called a heel turn.
Ah, that's when a face, you know, the baby face, changes over to be a heel.
Oh, with the whole good guy, bad guy dynamic, I bet that would be pretty powerful. I mean, like, what if in Endgame, back to Endgame, it came out that Dr. Benedict Flimberbatch... Flumbersnutch Bundercup.
Oh, Scott, with your mispronouncing names. You know, every time you do it, I just want to get up from my chair and give you a big...
It's bedlam! Total pandemonium!
Ah, Tom, that really hurt. What the hell, man?
It's Cumberbatch and Khosrow Shahi and...
Someone needs to get in there and end this. Come on.
And there's going to be no mispronouncing the beatdown I'm going to give you during our no disqualification match at Current Geek Chronicles, The Reckoning.
Tom's setting him up. And it's tech time. That's it. That's all she wrote.
How did he do that over the internet? Chronicles.
Current Geek Chronicles is produced by Hammond Chamberlain and Rich Stroffolino, executive produced and hosted by Scott Johnson and Tom Merritt. Interviews provided by Marty the Moth, Katie Dirks, and Joey Image. Ring announcements by Justin Robert Young. Our theme music is by Eric Van Skyhawk. Get more of his songs on Apple Music and Spotify under the name Skyhawk. Chronicles.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.